I'd like to call to order the Board of Education meeting for Monday, October 23rd, 2017, 7 o'clock. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 3, recognition and presentation. Well, wait a minute.
Yep, you're weird.
Is that good?
Yeah,
we're recognition and presentation.
I'd like to introduce Ms. Susan Welsh to come up and recognize some very outstanding students we have here this evening.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Board of Education. It is with great pleasure that I'm here this evening to share the good news with the Board of Education about the accomplishments of 15 of our students in this room tonight. A little over a year ago, these students started the process of taking the PSAT test as a junior. This was probably, they probably all had sat for the ACT by then, but probably had not sat for an SAT yet. So they took the PSAT, and then in the summer, we were informed that 15 of these students have made the top in the country. It is with great pleasure that I introduce you to kids who are in the top 1% of all test takers, which was 1.6 million students in 22,000 high schools in America this past year. So our the scholarship competition, it has yielded so far the following semifinalists, and then I have a little bit more after that. So congratulations, Mr. Brandon Deutsch, Caroline Drinko, Ms. Jihoon Paul Wu, Mr. Aaron Ye, and Mr. Frank Zhu.
Congratulations. Here you go.
All right, in case you don't know what I'm handing you, this little thing right here,
I can borrow your phone really quick.
This goes on the back of your phone, so you can put your ID badge in it. It's called a phone pocket, so
some people are looking at it. What is she giving us?
That's what they are.
These finalists are going to continue in the scholarship competition. They will, later in the year, they will find out if they will have qualified as finalists. Right now, they're considered semifinalists. And by spring, they will know by February whether they've been named finalists. They still have to do some things to qualify as a finalist, and there will be 15,000 students in America that are named a finalist. So we wish them the very best as they continue in the competition. At this time, I'd also like to highlight and spotlight the other 10 students in our school district who qualified as commended scholars. And those students are in the top 34,000 of the 1.6 million students in America. So this is quite an honor, and they have a ton to be proud of. At this time, I would like to welcome up Samantha Barchett, Grace Bird, Sydney Hudasek, Daniel Kadir, Vicky Meng, Nikita Murakananti, Cassidy Nightpower, Daniel Rohr, Austin Samrick, and Rihanna Thomas. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Okay. please join me in one more round of applause for them.
You guys are smart. Yeah, bring her up to the front.
You gotta tweet it out, sir. You know that.
Like our
tweeters.
That's right, you guys love the blue side
here. So generally, this is the time where we excuse anybody who would like to be excused. Get back to work.
Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you for coming.
And applause for the parents as
amazing.
Well.
Teachers too.
And the teacher.
Sorry, teachers
I know
too.
You're
no,
right.
That was okay.
You're
they
right.
Both deserve credit.
You can actually do it before we approve my agenda. So it doesn't necessarily have to happen now. It's just before we get to my consent agenda. It's just, but just to make sure people know, if anybody's here hanging around for the 5-year forecast, that's fine.
Kathleen, sure. And I have one other one too. To add. Just one other amendment.
Can I have Frank's certificate?
Yes.
I'd love to. Frank cannot be here tonight because he did academic challenge, which just happened tonight up at the high school.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was cleaning it up and didn't make it here at time. So I'd like to present it to him in my first grade class.
Okay. Perfect.
This is a big deal.
Take his phone pocket and his pen too.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Right. We'll send his picture to his parents.
Bless you.
All right. Wow, that was pretty awesome. Item C, Kappa end of the year report. Mrs. Lazar.
That's wonderful to follow that.
Thank you.
Oh, hot off the presses?
Yeah, I'll pop my lap.
Oh, okay.
Warm lap.
They were just warm that hot.
Not worried. I'll copy. It's the only time I'm allowed to copy after merit scholars. I can't talk about copying.
I wish I would have sat next to some of those kids.
I know. Me too.
Thank you for having us here. I'm not here by myself. I'm also here with other CAPA staff members. And I don't know if you all are familiar with Carol Stokar. She is primarily in the middle school. She does a lot of our youth-led intervention. We have Meredith Vonbeck. Meredith joined us in January, and she's wonderful. She does a lot of our community-based organization. So I'm not going to take a lot of your time. I'm actually going to let these two ladies talk a tiny bit. I'll just say that the focus of this year, particularly since we got federal funding in last fall, has really been to increase our capacity, to increase the partnerships that we've had with community groups and organizations, not only in Brecksville, but in Cuyahoga County, and even at a state level, which we have done that, and to really increase our youth-led prevention and intervention with our clubs and helping our students be our leaders, not only at the high school, but among their peers and doing trainings in the lower grades. If you just, and you can see from looking at our end-of-the-year report, we had students go and visit our state representatives to really talk about what some of their concerns were and how, on a state level, our representatives can help us. They also met with Marlene Anielski, who worked with us to get the license plates, if you can remember that. So they congratulated her, thanked her for her help on that. I think one of the things that we did very successfully this year is we have worked with the Educational Services Center. Our students have presented there are 3 times already to community-based professionals and also educators, and each time we've had over 75 adults present, and it's been very well received to the point where I just want Friday and spoke at Lakewood, called us and wanted to know how they can develop youth led programming similar to what we have. I'm actually talking to Parma, and we're going to be visiting them and helping them get a group up and running. So they're seeing our kids present, they're seeing the influence of what we're doing, and other districts are wanting to replicate what we have. So that's a real feather in mm-hmm. this school district's hat, and also just demonstrates the power of prevention. So you can see just by going through, we do a lot of community-based programming. We work with our senior citizens. This Saturday, we are having our take back day, our prescription drug take back day. I mentioned this at the PSO council meeting. Through our collaborations with Cleveland Clinic and with Metro Health, this last April, we actually collected more pounds of medicines than we have ever collected. We are again the highest in Northeast Ohio with 1,020 pounds of medicines. Now, that's not the plastic containers, that is just the medicines. 1,020 pounds in one day, 1 4-hour period, which is insane. But part of that is the collaboration and the increased marketing. So I think that helps, and we really want to make sure that we're not having those expired and unwanted medicines in homes anymore, particularly with the epidemic that we're experiencing. I'm actually going to let the girls talk a little bit about what she's doing with Huddle Junior. They do have ribbon week this week, and then Meredith is going to talk a little bit about the tobacco collaboration. So please.
Good evening. Thanks for having us. As Kelly had mentioned, my name is Cheryl Sofar. I am the project coordinator with CAFA, and I want to be cognizant of your time, so I wrote myself a few notes, and I will just speak briefly. I work with the students down at the middle school, and that group is called Huddle Junior. We increased membership this year. It's typically been about a group of 38 graders. We're at 56 this year, so we're super excited about that. And as Kelly had mentioned, they're working on Red Ribbon Week this week, which has been a real fun week for them, raising awareness about drug and alcohol prevention and awareness. They have dress-down days, and they promote different activities during lunchtime to increase their peers' their awareness and prevention. And then also one of the primary things that I do working with the high school Huddle kids, and I'm not sure if you guys are all familiar with Huddle, but that's helping us develop dedication, leadership, and enthusiasm. There is about 120 high school students, I think, is what that is at right now. And I help to train them to facilitate lessons in 6th grade, 8th grade, and in our 9th grade classes. So they facilitate 5 lessons through the winter months, starting usually in November. And it goes through March, typically, depending on the weather. And this year, we are introducing a new curriculum. It's called Project Alert. And that was created and tested by RAND Corporation, and it's a curriculum that was developed over a 10-year period, and it addresses the pro-mind drug set of teens today, and it effectively increases their likelihood to remain drug and alcohol free. In our 6th grade classrooms, we focus on 5 lessons, which revolve around tolerance and diversity, alcohol, prescription medication, tobacco, and marijuana. And then in our high school, our 9th grade classes, all of the 9th graders get one focused lesson in their health classes. And we collaborated with Ohio State Extension and the Cardinal Health Foundation to facilitate a lesson that is on prevention and misuse of prescription drugs. So we're really going to try to target that and promote healthy decision making and awareness. Does anybody have any questions?
Right. I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you.
Well, just a couple of pieces that I've been working on is we're very excited. We are expanding our prevention program to Stepping Stones, our preschool program. So we're going to be facilitating 12-week prevention-based programs with the preschool students. So that's just expanding to our smallest part of our population. I'll also be working with our elementaries and facilitating the prevention programs there with our high school Huddle students. And then the large majority of my position is to oversee the Ohio Department of Health tobacco grant. And with that, we are looking at, we're in year 2 of a 3-year grant, and this part is looking at the objectives of sustaining the youth presence and looking at them developing tobacco counter marketing, to be looking at compliance with tobacco sales to the youth laws, and then really this year focusing on the policy piece and looking at the community policy changes that impact the access to youth tobacco products and tobacco-free schools. And last year we looked at our district tobacco-free policy and looked at making some recommendations. We would love to see our district have a 100% tobacco-free school policy. So we're really hopeful that those recommendations will be adopted by our district and the Ohio Department of Health.
A few other things that I gave you is because we are data-driven, any of the programming that we do, we actually have our youth risk behavior survey that we implement. We did a community perception survey recently in June that is actually being analyzed by Case Western Reserve that was completed by almost 700 community residents. And it asks questions such as, do you think that tobacco use is a problem in our community? Do you think, where do you think kids are getting access to alcohol? And we use that information to then develop a strategic plan, an action plan on what we're going to do. So everything is data driven. All of the interventions that we do, we have surveys and we follow back to see if we made a difference, because we just don't want to be spinning our wheels. We want to make sure that we are targeting issues that are pertinent to the kids and parents and community members in Rocky Heights. I gave you some of the, we are actually waiting for the Oh Yes survey. That was the high school survey that we just did in May. I just talked to the epidemiologist actually on the way here, and he is still crunching those numbers. But those are our logic models, where we look at what's the larger problem in the county, why is it a problem here, what are local conditions that might be contributing to it, and what are we going to do about it, so that you can then follow it back and make sure that we are all that we do is measured, and that we know that we are making a difference. And then also I just included our tax pages so that y'all can see the taxes were just submitted October 15th. So that you can follow that.
Can I say a little bit about some of the collaboration? What did you do like Thursday night?
Oh, absolutely. So we were actually contacted by Judge Rainey through juvenile court, and thanks to Superintendent Magyar, who she reached out to and then kind of steered her our way. Judge Rainey really is concerned about the rates of prescription drug use and opioid use among our kids. Not all our kids per se, but she's a Cuyahoga County juvenile judge, and she also does drug court. And so she's seeing rises in risk behavior that are very concerning, and she wanted to work with us to do a town hall meeting. Now, they just don't want to talk about what the problem is. We're hearing a lot about the problem, the opioid problem, where it started, where its origins began, and how the impact that's happening in Cuyahoga County. But she also wanted to talk about how is it really impacting our local community, and what are some things that we can do about it. So we actually have one of Mr. Ziegler's friends is going to talk about personal loss. We have a person in recovery who's going to talk about how do you see your way clear from being in a position, that dark place. And then we're also going to hear from a local individual about how do we move forward past this. So that's Thursday night. We have Thomas Gilson, our Cuyahoga County Medical Examiner, is going to be presenting. So he's going to talk about what he's seeing on at the end of the line as a coroner. And Judge Rainey's going to talk, and then we're going to hear from other community-based members. So it's a really exciting collaboration. It's going to be at Cuyahoga County Medical Examiner, 7 o'clock till 8:30 this Thursday.
Thank you, Kelly, very much.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you, other cat. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Very much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item D, the Barney Dunham Award. There we go.
Yeah. So I am pleased to present this award to you as our board. Even though it has my name on it, I'm very humbled by your support, because this would not be possible without the support of our Board of Education. But I was honored with this plaque down at the BASA conference at the beginning of the month in October. And this award is given out to the district that shows the most academic growth over the last 2 years. And so our district was the highest in the state. The last superintendent to receive this award was back in 2014, and it was given to Joe Regano over in Solon. So I feel I'm in very good company with this plaque. But again, just because it has my name on it doesn't mean that it wasn't because of the efforts of our staff and our teachers and our board support. So thank you for this, and I'd like to present it to you to be hung up somewhere here in our boardroom. So there you go. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay, I want to. Yay! Yay! That's great. And I even asked who Barney was, and she knew the whole background of Barney.
Yes. Barney was a former superintendent in Ohio.
Grace is our health. Item, I need to ask. Item 10, Treasurer's Consent Agenda. I need to make a change. We are removing item 10.
Do you need a motion to change the agenda?
You do not.
Oh, you don't? Oh.
Only for the, you know, the approval one. No, but you do not.
Okay.
As I was saying, we are removing item 10, Part B, five-year financial forecast for October 2017. We're going to be addressing that at a subsequent meeting.
Okay.
And then, Superintendent Magyar, did you have something else that you needed as well?
I did. So if you look at item 8, it says superintendent's announcements, which is fine. So if I could add item 8A, that would be the superintendent's consent agenda to make the recommendations for certified, classified, and supplemental recommendations. So it's really just putting another header in there as 8A. So if you look under 8, it says superintendent announcements.
Yes.
There really should be, that's a separate issue, and then there should be 8A, we can call it, if you're okay with that. That would be the superintendent's consent agenda to make the recommendations of certified, classified, and supplemental recommendations.
Yep. So just altering the title, I want to make sure I get that right.
Yes, but there is going to still be superintendent announcements, too.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay.
So we'll call that 8.1.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, sounds good. I'll make sure. Thank you.
Okay. Item 4, community communications. We have hearing of the public. Does anyone wish to be heard? Oh, okay. So let me read my shtick. Mr. Tryon, persons wishing to address the board may do so at this point. No formal action will be taken on subjects that are not included on this agenda until the board has had an opportunity to study them. Comments regarding personnel must be submitted in writing through the Office of the Superintendent in order for the board to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient manner, and to provide sufficient opportunities for members of the public to be heard. Hearing of the public shall be limited to 30 minutes, and we mean that, during which each speaker shall be limited to a maximum of 3, and you know we mean business. So, all right, please be heard.
I will try to comply.
State your name and your address, please.
David Tryon, 8659 Jenna Drive, Broadview Heights.
Okay.
So, first of all, as always, thank you all for serving on the board. Incredibly hard job, and I appreciate your time and efforts. Mrs. Mack, congratulations on your position as president. I don't think I've had the opportunity to congratulate
you
yet.
So. Congratulations on your most recent appointment as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I was going to say congratulations to Mr. Hall. I haven't met you yet, but congratulations.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you.
So, because of recent developments in my life and my professional career, this board has previously appointed me to be on the Finance Committee for CBCC. I'm not sure exactly whether it's this board that does that or the CBCC that does that, but both boards are involved. Anyways, because of developments in my life, it's probably prudent for the board to find someone else. Mm-hmm. I don't know when my new situation is going to be completed, but I'm still waiting for final approval.
Okay.
But once that happens, I'll have to resign, and I'll be parting for other parts.
Would that be okay if I made that announcement? We don't know back, but if I made that as well at CBCC and let them know, or are
sure,
you letting them know as well?
Okay.
Anything else?
So this is a relocation thing?
Yeah, I will have to move to Washington.
Oh, you will? Okay. Yes. I wasn't sure how that was going
to... Mr. Tryon, what have you been appointed to since people's curiosity is piqued?
All right, sure. Yeah. So, I mean, it's public information. So, President Trump has nominated me for Chief Counsel for Advocacy for the Small Business Administration, which is a separate organization, which is an affiliate with the Small Business Administration. And it's a presidential appointment with Senate confirmation. So I'm waiting right now for committee hearings for the Senate Small Business and Entrepreneurship Committee. And then after that, they will vote yes or no on me. If they vote yes, it goes to the full Senate for a yes or no vote. So once all that happens, then I would, assuming I have the honor of being confirmed, then I would Washington.
Will be a televised confirmation, so we could
yes,
watch the festivities.
I am told that it will be on.
I want to see Chuck filibuster you.
Yeah, that may happen too.
This is the kind of publicity that makes people.
Yeah.
Yep.
So okay.
So yeah, it may be on C-SPAN. I don't know.
Wow. Get camera ready.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Item 5, President's Announcements.
Oops.
I don't really have anything to announce, so, right? So, let's move on. Item 6, Board Member Committee Reports. A, Financial Liaison Audit Committee.
We actually have gap conversion that is full in process. Actually, the auditors will be back in tomorrow. From the state auditors will be back in tomorrow just to take kind of phase 2, phase 3. That's a continuing process, about a 5 to 6 month process, so nothing unusual at this point. Working with Steve Julian as well in Julian and Group. They're missing maybe one or two items, but we're moving along there as well. So nothing really to report except continue to move forward and make progress. So,
okay.
So
we'll
the
keep
state
you abreast.
Intends to go to generally accepted accounting principles next year, 2 years?
You know, I don't know specifically. I mean it's a general part of the process, I guess, on an annualized basis to go to GAAP, but I haven't mm-hmm. I honestly don't know for sure what their intention is. I wish I had. Yeah, I'm sure that hasn't been brought up. It's just to say that it's generally general procedure, process procedure, that if you go to GAAP conversion long term, I don't know specifically what that entails for the state. So
the thing is, the education world is one of the few entities that goes on cash accounting, and most businesses use generally accepted accounting principles referred to as GAAP, which accrues for costs that have been incurred but not been paid. It's accounting stuff. Thanks.
Thank you.
Item B, Permanent Improvement Committee.
I mean, basically that's been the building, you know, facilities commission thing, so we have not met separate to that since our last meeting.
But we are going to meet.
We have a meeting.
We have a meeting soon. 4:30 on Wednesday, the
November 1st.
First, or whatever. Yeah. So we have them coming up. But.
And we have a discussion on our as well. So. Okay, item C, Transportation Appeals Committee.
I'm done. Do you see me knocking?
Yeah. Item D, Board Policy Committee. Is that meeting coming up?
No, we had just met, and you have your first reads policy that came out of that meeting on your agenda for you to review today.
Okay. Item E, CBCC report. We did not have a meeting this month. We had a work session where we interviewed law firms as well. We finished that up. We had started that process in September. I also have Jordan DeFranco. She's from Brexville Broadview Heights. She's a senior in our cosmetology program, and Jordan chose the cosmetology. Is this like a synopsis? I didn't read it. So she chose our cosmetology program because as early as middle school, she wanted to do hair. So we're highlighting different students in our district, and hopefully we have some more students that take that opportunity as well, because it is an opportunity. And then we have item F, other board member reports. So we had a foundation meeting, and foundations, we've been talking about, we need 4 new trustees, I believe, and that we're going to be advertising those trustees through Constant Contact. We are looking for specific job qualifications for trustees. It's a small committee, but mighty, and it's 14 trustees in total. We need, and you'll see, but some of the things that we need are people who are skilled in marketing that do that, some people who are in event planning. We have a fundraiser every year. We talked about our fundraiser, which will be coming up in February, and right now we're kind of coalescing around where that's going to be, but we are looking for 4 new trustees. So if that's something you might be interested in, we raise money for the district, for our students. It goes directly to our teachers. They apply for grants, and annually, I think this year it's around $21,000 that we're donating to those grants, and we need more help. So hopefully that ends up happening sooner than later, because that fundraiser is coming up in February. And that's all I have. Anyone else? Item 7, other board business. Item A, new and revised board policies per separate documents. So you all have that in your binder, and this is our first reading.
Any questions on any of the policies?
Okay. And then item B, we have our facility planning discussion. So who would like to start?
Do we need a motion on this?
No, oh, sorry.
Should we?
I think it's for all of it, isn't it?
It is
for A and B?
Oh, right.
It'd be for both.
So moved.
So,
okay, thank you. Okay, so discussion? Or B, facility planning?
Well, first of all, what's our timing for having to make a decision so that we were able to get on the board so that we know what the schedule is? Let's go over that again.
Okay.
We need to have a firm recommendation basically by the end of the year. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
So we have maybe 2 months, not even, to get from, I say concept, it's not exactly concept anymore, but into the specifics of what we want to put on the ballot in terms of how much money we're asking for and what we think that will represent when we get it. So I don't know where we want to start the discussion. We obviously got our president.
Well, let's even back up even further just for people who weren't there. So to recap, we had a meeting, was it last week?
Mm-hmm. Last Thursday.
Okay, we had a meeting where we had a recommendation for our building and facilities committee.
Facilities committee. Yeah.
Yeah. And they recommended the options of, go ahead and recap if you want, Mark.
Well, they brought one recommendation to the board, so their final recommendation was to offline Central, Chippewa, Hilton, and Highland, so all 4 elementaries, and build 2 new school buildings, I think around 750 or 800 in capacity. They didn't get into the details about where those would be. And to fund that, it would be, so just to remind everybody also of kind of resetting where we're at. So the bond issue that funded the high school is starting to be paid off. So we literally have one more year of a window to do, you can think of it like an extension of that bond. Technically, it would be a new bond issue, but it would work like an extension where no new millage would hit the voters. So your taxes wouldn't go up, they wouldn't go down, they would just stay the same for some number of years, and that is what would be used to fund this extension of a bond. That has to, the only opportunity to pass this extension concept is in 2018, which means you have May to be on the ballot as an option, August and November. So really you have 3 chances at most next year to get some form of an extension passed by the voters. If you don't, what will happen is you can no longer use the extension mechanism. People's taxes eventually would go down and you would have to go for, you know, reinstitute the pain of new taxes to get a new bond issue. So it's really critical that we get something, some form of an extension passed next year. So that's kind of the backstory on this. So the numbers were run by the Finance Committee to say if you did an extension for a certain number of years, how much money could you generate from that? The high end was 35 years and you could generate $50 million from it. The committee's recommendation, which I already started to touch on, would total $47.5 million. So it would require the 35-year extension option. It might be a little less if you back it down because it's not quite $50 million. So the recommendation to the board was to look at doing this option, which would be offlining four elementaries and building two new elementary buildings in its place, and also a small amount of money carved out to do renovations at the high school and the middle school. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Okay, so you brought up next steps. What are the next steps? You're meeting November 1st, right, as a committee?
Well, that's a PI meeting.
So that committee is not getting back together.
Well, there is no scheduled meeting right now.
Okay.
Chris, am I right on that?
That's correct.
I look after I said something. But, as of now, they've made the recommendation. So now if we want to go back to them with questions at some point, I guess we could. But, I mean, basically right now their work is done.
Yeah, I think the next step is on our plate now to figure out what we want to do.
Right.
One of the areas of concern that I had, and I shared this when the presentation was done, is that when the option was settled on by the committee, not all of the factors that we need to consider were given weight in the final recommendation. Specifically, some of the financial pieces in terms of the impact of going out for such a long extension and such a large amount of money, and the likelihood that will be a harder sell to the voters. We also had to remind everybody too, last year at this time we took a survey on a number of topics, and within that survey there were like five or six questions that were related to facilities, and the results on those questions, just to kind of summarize, the results kind of showed strong support for a bond extension for renovation and repairs. There were other questions that related to new buildings. That support was more questionable.
Again, some of that because of the way the question was asked.
That's what I was going to add too, is because, I don't know. I'm looking at this, and yeah, I agree. I think the question was, the one that was so heavily supported was that the millage would not increase. And I think whichever option, that's not going to happen. It's just the number of years. So I don't know that this is going to be such a hard sell if that's what the board decides to do. My own personal opinion. I like the fact that the committee, and I think there were about 50 people on this committee or so from what I heard,
probably more than that.
Okay.
Our committee is probably 25 to 30, in the ballpark, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously I wasn't on some of those, on the committees, couldn't be, but it sounded from the presentation that they really looked at what they thought was what our kids needed, that they were looking at what they thought would best serve us educationally going forward. And I know the money is something too, but I guess I'm not so convinced that that's going to be a really tough sell, because we're not asking for new money. I mean, additional.
Yeah.
No new millage. So there won't
be no new millage.
Right. But to some of the other aspects, though, is that one of the other questions talked about people's perception of our buildings, which was not in line with reality. We all know that. Unfortunately, 60% of the public thought our buildings were in good shape. So that means the perception doesn't match reality. Mm-hmm. The challenge also that we're faced with is that we have a very short runway to change people's perceptions. I mean, we're talking about a 4 to 5 month campaign for this bond. And again, I have grave concerns over the risk if this doesn't fly, because we only have one shot at this next year in 2018, meaning 1 year to get something passed. And, you know, if you didn't have the 1 year timeline and you had more time to campaign and bring people more up to speed with reality, and also more time to talk about what the solution is, what's being proposed, I think you'd have an easier time of it. As well as if you did all that and you went out to the voters, and let's say the first time it didn't pass, but you were close, you then had more time then to come back again. Unfortunately, we don't. Like, if, you know, you get into these situations where, you know, if we went on the ballot in May for some new building option, let's just say that, and it doesn't pass, then you're left with, well, now what do? Were you close enough where you want to try again for the same thing in August? Do you change it? Or what if it's not close? Then do you retreat and go back to the renovation repair option? And then are you risking some people saying, well, what, this board doesn't know what they're doing? First they're telling us they need a new building, now they're telling us they want to do renovation repair. So, like, there's risk involved
in everything we do.
In everything we do. But renovation and repair and has the lowest risk profile.
Yeah, and leading with your low risk, no stretch option right off the bat, I think, is underselling both the effort of the committee and the future of our schools. I mean, I really, if the voters tell us no, okay. But to lead with, yeah, we're just going to Band-Aid this stuff. I think we need at least one new building, you know. Yeah, I know we're not going to get anywhere tonight. We're not going to finalize anything. But just to open up early declarations, I mean, I do not want to go to the public and just say we want a bunch of money so we can patch up these buildings that we know nobody wants to be in.
And well, we're especially if that money. Patchwork doesn't last as long as the bond issue itself. I mean, you have to. I'm assuming that they looked at all of that.
Well, that would be, yeah. We're talking about like a 15 to maybe 20 year thing, which would probably be a stretch in terms of the building won't fall down.
Right.
I mean, that just is. They talk about
but
the bricks
are fine.
But then
if you're going to need new buildings, then you.
But yeah, but you can't move the bricks. And if we air condition those buildings, now we're spending, and Chris, for a building to air condition?
$15 million.
All right, so five a building to air condition.
Air conditioning increased $15 million across the elementary schools.
Yeah, so, I mean, we could say no air conditioning, but then again, now we're going back to the public to say your kids are going to continue to not have air conditioning in the old buildings. I do not want for our first effort to go with something that's purely a Band-Aid. I mean, that's my view. And, mm-hmm. You know, we obviously need to talk about it.
Yeah. I wouldn't view it as a Band-Aid, because the options we were talking about, the renovations we were talking about, were substantive. And we also talked about, in renovation repair, offlining a couple of buildings. So now you're taking some excess capacity offline, which is generating significant operational savings.
So we would still be taking stuff off if we build new buildings. So, I mean,
no, I know that.
That part is, you know, is
I know that.
Neutral. But again, I don't care what you do to Highland. You can build a whole bunch of new stuff on it. It's still the guts of it's going to be Highland. And that's going to be the same for Chippewa and everything else. So, yeah, it's going to have a new gym, a rec room, and a couple new classrooms. But you're still dealing with the same place that doesn't have air conditioning, that is not conducive to a lot of the new technology. And again,
doesn't have reception.
Doesn't have security, but that we can work our way around. Wow. You know, I just believe, again, that just asking people for a bunch of money for more of the same, which is pretty close to where we'll be if we do that, is to me a tough sell. And as long as people know it's not going to increase their taxes, and as long as we can get every one of the 55 or 60 or however many people we had on that committee out there stumping, which, again, having sat through the meetings, it was a strong recommendation from our committee. I didn't agree with it most of the time. I'll say that, you know, and I was on more of your side of it. But after asking these people to consider it, talking to people who have kids, talking to, you know, the educational people and all that jazz, I do think we need to have, and again, I'm not arguing for two new buildings at this point yet, but I think we need to have at least one new building. And if it's only $3-4 million difference, I'm not sure. But to me, I lean toward more the one new building, only because it gives us more flexibility going forward if our population goes down. But And we don't necessarily, I still think, have to have everybody in that one building. But nonetheless, I do think we need to show somebody something new if we're going to ask them for more money is my take on it right now.
You know, can I just interject? You know, this board going back a ways has been adamant about soliciting inputs rather than dictating a solution. The survey was a first foot through the door, the nose under the tent. It is what it is. It was a survey conducted. People answered the questions. It was a statistically relevant survey with good response. But it was not a dialogue or the result of a dialogue. It was a survey to see where was the stake in the ground at that point in time. The benefit is these four committees that have been together did a deep dive. They didn't touch every base because they weren't tasked with touching every base. For example, what location? What footprint? What do we do with the students who are displaced during construction? Right? These are not small issues, but these committees were not tasked with answering all the questions. Mark's point is very correct. We have a very tight timeline to run down here. And in our communities, perceptions are realities. In many, to the folks who don't have kids in our elementary schools, you drive by, they're beautiful wooded lots, they have very nice curb appeal, but underneath the roof is a bit of a different story. So there's a lot of moving parts here. The work is not done. So you know, I'd like to again thank the people that were involved, and know that the board isn't going to out of hand accept or reject an offer. It's going to work that information in with other information that's relevant as we move quickly forward.
I just wanted to add, you know, having worked now, I work in a building now for the second year that's new, the change from coming from an elementary much like the elementaries we have to a building where, you know, the trend is to put all the specialists back in the classroom, love John Hattie, right? To put them all back in the classroom and move everybody that way. When the classrooms don't expand, and so now you see in a newer building, you see pods that exist outside that you can come in and out, and it's an easier flow. We don't have that in our elementary. So I think it's great that the committees went inside of our building, saw some of the challenges that our teachers have. It's unbelievably difficult what I see working there day to day. And I know the parents that are in our buildings and the community members now that have been in there, they can see that there's this whole other thing going on, that these buildings are not laid out that way. So there's so many things, but the main thing is our children are starting to become at a disadvantage. They don't have the things that they need, the room that they need. And the state's going to continue on these mandates where they're doing this push-in model, and our classrooms are quite small, and so it doesn't really mimic, you know, what's going to come down to us. So hopefully we can consider, I'm with Mike, one new building at the very least. I don't know how we would decide then who would get to go there. You know, that's the other thing.
Or is it one really big building?
One really big building, but the disadvantage, our children are starting to become at a disadvantage, in my educational opinion. And I'm sure in some of the parents who've gone in there, they see it. So.
Well, I mean, you know, again, I try to be forward-looking on some of this stuff from a financial perspective, and that's where I do have concerns. I mean, if you go out for a bond that's 30 or 35 years, you're still going to be left with the high school and the middle school in particular, which are very old. Those buildings are likely not going to last without something more significant by the time you, before that bond is paid off. So you're likely saying you're going to be signing up also probably for another bond issue somewhere down the road to do something else with facilities before you have the you know, this 30 or 35 year bond issue paid off. You know, the incremental approach, I think, also offers some advantage too, in that we've had declining enrollment, maybe about 1.5% a year for the last 10 years. That trend is projected to continue to some degree, but we don't know. It's just a projection. So, you know, buying another dozen years, if you looked out, if you did, let's say, a 15-year extension, you'd put some board 12 years from now in the same position to look at doing another extension, because this extension concept is you know, it can be recycled, if you will. So you could potentially buy another 12 years, get a clearer picture of your enrollment, where your enrollment is going, and 12 years from now, maybe you look and say, guess what? Maybe you take the middle school offline and you don't need the, and you build another new building and you take the other two, you know, elementaries offline. I mean, I don't view it as a Band-Aid. I view it as an incremental step that offers some financial advantages. As well as we know, yes, there is, everything has risk, but the survey question was very clear on the renovation repair, and the support was 92%. So,
too bad we didn't add or build.
That it would be
have been
new,
the same.
No, right. I think it would have. I think it would have too.
Well, is it an option to run another survey now that we've got more data and we've got more
Between
options
now
on the
and
table?
December.
Yeah,
I don't know. Shouldn't well, the survey's going to be the vote, to be honest, but. You know, I don't know if we can generate enough valuable information from now and then. Anyway, that's not my expertise.
Do you think we have to wait all the way to December to get information that we need to make that decision? Is there any possibility we could make
that decision in
November?
Well, I'm sorry, do you have something to say?
I just said we can make the decision anytime we want.
What I was thinking was we would, at OSBA in Columbus, continue this discussion with the new board members. Bring them up to speed, even though I know that I've seen two of them here today. But bring them up to speed. And then we need to start coalescing around a direction. And then we'll move on, hopefully, by December with a first reading. I mean, I don't see it going any other way. Either we're going to move forward or we're not.
And I think, you know, one of the reasons that I know that the committee wanted to come to you earlier with a recommendation is also what we keep talking about, a short runway and time. And so one of the things that they wanted to do was possibly, you know, get a blessing, for lack of a better word, so that you could take that, you know, recommendation out to the community and start kind of taking the pulse of what people are going to think about that. Because the last thing we want to do is wait up until December, decide, do the first reading, put a bond on, then we start going out and educating the community about whatever the plan is, and they go, no, this is not what we want. And then we've just kind of set that bond up for failure, so to speak. And so the idea was is that if we could build some time between now and that first read to kind of take that pulse, go out and start talking at community engagement, start putting some things out on social media to see how people would react. Because if people are going to react negatively, why would we even go and put the bond on the issue? Why would you take the vote and do the first read? So that was kind of the idea of the committee to bring it to you sooner, you know, hoping that there could be some just kind of, you know, all right, we agree or we disagree, or here's the recommendation, to kind of build in that extra time prior to making that decision or doing that first read.
So how would these coffee talks run? Like, how would you envision that running?
Well, we
like, would you be facilitating them, or
it could be a combination of a lot of people. It could be people on the communications committee. It could be me. It could be Jeff. It could be any of you that would want to have those conversations around that. I found it to be very effective when we did the levy campaign. I know tomorrow we're speaking at the Democratic Club to kind of just talk about an overview of this process. Certainly not, you know, just letting them know how we got from, you know, where we started and what the recommendation was that we've made to the board, and then leaving it at that, so there won't be any more discussion. I'm sure it'll be, we'll have lots of questions on that, and so that'll give us, I think, our first kind of test of what people might be thinking around this, or kind of gauging that response.
Because here's the thing, I mean, you want it very controlled, because with the levy, coffee talks, you did it,
yes,
and you went with the treasurer. I mean, that's sometimes, but mostly you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very controlled.
Yep.
And so that's the only concern, you know, with the talking points, to making sure that no misinformation is given out, because that could put us at a disadvantage immediately if we don't watch that. But also to make sure that it's controlled.
Absolutely.
As well.
I think the Communications Committee has a nice plan. It's a five-prong plan of what they were going to do. Those talking points have been discussed. They've been, you know, we've seen them once you are comfortable making that recommendation of how it is that it's going to go out and be communicated and very controlled. We've talked about that. The Communications Committee has talked about that a lot to say, you know, we can't have people going off and running and just saying this, that, and the other. There has to be a script, and people need to stick to it. We've also told the Communications Committee if there's any questions that they can't answer, not to make up an answer. And, I don't mean that to sound funny, but just don't just say, you know what, I don't know, and bring those questions back to people who can answer it so that, again, we continue to control those messages that are going out. So
So how does the board feel about something like that with the coffee talks?
Well, my question is, before the board settles on a specific path, what would you be communicating?
So my presentation tomorrow is, Jeff and our presentation tomorrow is really about where we started a year ago, going through the ELP process, that we had this evaluation done, how TDA fit into that, how then we took that information and we created this committee. So it's really a build up as to where we started, where we went, how we came up with this recommendation. A lot of the slides are the same that you saw at the presentation last Thursday. Actually, all of the slides are the same. We added a couple that started with the ELP process that we didn't have in that because you guys were already aware of that. So adding a couple slides there and then, you know, opening it up for people who have questions to say, here was a recommendation that was given to the board by this committee last Thursday. The board is continuing to look at that and discuss and that recommendation, and that's where it's going to end. So it's really just an overview of the process of how we got there and put up some of the numbers to try to, you know, so we can illustrate why are we going through this process? Why did we come here and how did we get to where we are? So we have some of those same pictures and so forth that people can see. And just to start to gauge, do people even know, as you said, do people even know the conditions of our building? From the outside, they look one way, but when you go inside, and so, you know, to start having that conversation about here is the conditions of our building and putting it out to people.
Do you have some slides?
We do.
Good.
We do.
Well, I'm just asking a question. Because we want to hear the feedback as well, how do we want, you know, that to be done? Do we want to go attend these coffee talks, like break ourselves up and just sit and listen and not answer and let, you know? But that would give us authentic feedback.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's anecdotal feedback. I mean, you're not, you know, who are the people attending these? Are you hitting the 70% plus percent of your population?
It's only a cross section. That's the best you can hope to do.
Yeah.
But it's at least authentic feedback where you're listening what the concerns are, you're building.
I would just be concerned about using an informal method of trying to gauge feedback that we're then going to act on. Like, well, we seem like people are really excited about it or really against it, unless we're doing something a little more scientific that you can have more reliance on the feedback. I mean, anecdotal feedback is fine, but not to make decisions on.
No, I mean, I personally would like to have the idea floated to different populations and just hear what's being said. I mean, the committee is diverse enough that, right, is Petra the only person on the communications committee?
Brittany.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's only November. It's 1 month.
We're always recruiting.
Well, I don't want to move the board one way or another. But I'm saying it's only 1 month that we have. How many can you attend anyways? How many can you have anyways? So it'd just be, you know, month of November. Let's hear what people have to say. It's a short runway.
I mean, I'll go back. Maybe a survey isn't the right mechanism, but is there a way we can do something that's a little more reliable in terms of getting a cross-section of people to socialize this idea with and get feedback?
Well, sure. Perhaps another, because the first one was a scientific survey, it was statistically valid, but knowing now what we didn't know then, right, what might that look like, and would it give us more meaningful information across voters instead of across parents? Those are two different groups.
Right, and the first survey we did was with voters. It was not with parents. It was a cross-section of community, and, I mean, it was a random 350-group sample that was on registered voters.
My point being, we don't have to do only one thing.
We could do both.
Yeah.
Well, again, I would go back and say...
I personally would like to hear the coffee feedback. I'd like to hear what's being said.
Face-to-face is important.
I mean, that's different, but then maybe we could call it the Dalit group. I don't know, how quickly do they turn something that around? We're election season.
I would bet we could get some...
I don't know.
Some pretty quick response. I mean, they're in the survey business, right? People don't want to wait.
We should be past current election surveys because of all the, you know, what do you call it? The ballots are already out for everybody that does it by mail. So I would think right now they're probably in their lull after the storm.
Yeah, I mean, we did it last time. I mean, last fall when we did it, we waited till after the election, and we did it before, you know, in the gap between the election and the holiday, you know, Thanksgiving.
Okay, so why don't we do this? Why don't we come up with, I don't know, do they charge you by the question? How does that work?
I don't remember from last time if it wasn't by the question.
Okay.
I just remember paying a flat, you know, it was a flat fee for the development of the survey, for them to then actually do the survey. So that's what you're really paying for. I mean, at one point we had, I think, 40 questions. They said, that's too long. You got to cut it down. So we cut it back. So I know it wasn't by the question.
I would think we're going to ask a handful of questions.
It's going to be 5 to 10 at the most.
Okay, so listen.
You're probably right. I want to sneak around a little bit.
Right, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Off questions just
right.
So that
maybe
they
sprinkle more in just so you're not getting like there's two questions.
Okay, so yeah, listen, no,
exactly.
Why don't we set
but they
let Joelle
exactly.
do her let's have Joelle do her due diligence on this to find out what it is again. Okay. The second thing is why don't we send some potential questions to Joelle that we would like to know. Okay? Or no?
Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember how we came up with the questions. Did they help us, or
who did they use to help? It's part of. Yeah, it's part of.
I mean, I would think they would be better at framing questions than we would be.
Yes. So they. So we told them what we wanted on the survey. We said, hey, we're interested in what people think about X, Y, and Z. And then they formulated the questions. They brought them back to us. We looked at them. We cut them down and said. And so they work with you. They will start the questions if we say, here's the topic that we want to put a survey out. Here's what we want to know. They will help formulate those questions.
Okay. And I mean, at this stage, you know, I really do think we should act like, all right, we're going to do something. So the questions almost should be more oriented toward, all right, if your taxes aren't going up, and I think this really is the question, are you willing to go 15 years to rehab or 30 years for new or 20 and 30, whatever it is? I mean, we have to make sure we're asking a question that's going to be right on a note. But
I would say that we have four, from what I recall now, I would say we would have four potential options we may want to survey on, which is the committee came up with option one and option two, which was one new building at $43 million, two new buildings at, you know, $47.5 million, right? So I think the option one, which we didn't explore the one that wasn't chosen, but I think that would be like, just ballpark, that would be a 30-year extension, right? The two new buildings would be 35. We talked about two flavors of renovation, one with air conditioning added to the buildings and one not added to the buildings. And there's your four options. And then the renovation would include offlining two buildings. I don't know that we honed in on because the committee, you know, went down the new construction path, so we may not have the actual buildings. I don't know if that's important to put in the question anyway, but renovation option one would be without air conditioning. It would cost whatever, $24 million, 15 years.
This is getting so complicated.
This is too complicated.
Well.
So let them see.
Joelle, if you could try to make rapid progress, and we're going to have a couple iterations before we send this out, but if you can get the first iteration going, I think that would help us decide what it's going to end up looking like.
Are you comfortable with the same survey company we used the last time? Try it.
Yeah. Did we have any issues with that?
No.
I don't think so.
There was a pretty good cross-section of people on the committee that didn't have children in our school, so weren't there? Am I correct? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first. Now, do we want to add, what about the coffee talks for November?
The coffee talks, the committee talked about doing those after the board had blessed whatever recommendation they were going to bless, just to then, because that's the feedback you want after you've made a decision. It's the feedback on, okay, is this an acceptable recommendation? And if you're getting feedback from those coffee talks that says, no, we want no part of this, then why would you go ahead and put the bond
on in the first place. So I think before we have coffee time, I think that the presentation that I'm doing tomorrow night is a perfect presentation to say, here's where we started, here's where we're at, because people don't even know how we got to this place of making a recommendation. The coffee talks, the way we had them with the levy, they were with people that were definitely involved with the schools, and we had that as an audience. They know that a recommendation has been made. So I think the coffee talks in that communications plan was to be after the board had landed on a recommendation, and then we're getting feedback on whatever that recommendation was.
But could we use the coffee talks like we're using the survey and get more information?
That's the way I saw it. Like, well, I would want to not head down a path if I was hearing. I just would want to hear. I haven't even floated this by anybody.
And
like to hear it before I started heading down a path, just a little bit of a cross section. Because, like, Debbie and I were not part of that committee. We weren't involved in those discussions. I want to be a part of that.
But what are we getting feedback on if we have the coffee talk ahead of time?
I just want to hear what authentic dialogue comes as a result of that basic presentation that you're doing at the Democratic Club.
Can I just suggest then that you two go Thursday night, see how that goes.
Tomorrow.
And then let
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night, sorry.
Yeah, I'll be there.
It's okay.
And just see how that one goes, and that way we can then design, if we want to do coffee, you know, type meetings, see what your experience is, and then say, all right, these are the pieces that I think if we sit down with people in our neighborhoods, these are the things that seem to have come up with Joelle and Jeff. You know, let's talk about those items maybe in small neighborhood groups and to me it still is going to get down to what Mark's talking about. Do we want to go, assuming the pain doesn't get any higher than it is today, so there's no new millage, do you want to continue the existing thing for 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years, depending on what you can get for those things?
Right.
You know, and if it's not going to get any worse that whole time, you know, do you want to go new? Or do you really think that you don't want it? You know, and to me, that, minus the specifics of what all that would look like, that is the question, I think. I mean, because we're telling them, we are not going to raise your current
millage.
We're not going to raise the millage. We're not going to raise your current level of pain.
Okay.
I mean, that's really what it gets down to. Just how long do you want to maintain what you've been doing for the last 20...
Five years,
25
years
and
21.
So see,
this is 25. Yeah.
Well,
so let's see what happens tomorrow.
Can you come tomorrow?
No, I cannot. Not till 8.
Well, if one of you want to come, you're welcome. I mean, it's open to everybody. They're not going to have you sign in as a Democrat or a Republican. No, seriously, it is open.
I would just say on this broad topic about presentations, coffee talks, town hall meetings, whatever. Any format that we can engage the public and change that perception that your buildings are pretty good no, they're really not that good, okay? And that we have an opportunity to pass to do a bond extension and do something with our facilities is good. I think all of those opportunities are good. You just have to be careful not to get down too far of a path. Like, I wouldn't suggest taking the recommendation and start trotting that out all over the place, because we haven't decided if that's exactly the path we want to go down.
Correct.
It's, as you pointed out, staying on message.
Yep.
And only on message.
Yep.
Yes. And the wording of the questions on the survey are going to be vital, right? You don't want to overwhelm people with,
sure,
I was throwing out a lot of numbers, right? You don't want to have them wash over like, oh my gosh, I don't.
But
it's got to be done in a way that it's statistically valid, that's like people understand. Here are the options in the most simple way we can describe it and see where the community lands.
Okay.
Okay. Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item 8AA, Superintendent's Announcement and Consent Agenda.
Well, I'm going to do the announcements first, and then we'll
do... Do you want a motion?
You know, for announcements?
We don't need one for... It should be... We should do... Yeah.
We have to separate. You're right on 8A.
You're right on 8A. We added 8A as superintendent recommendations. I'm doing my superintendent announcements now.
Okay, which is... So all of the A, B, C falls under 8A?
Correct.
Right.
Let's say eight.
All right.
Eight capital A.
Eight lower, no, sorry, eight lowercase A. All right. These were capitals.
All right, I will be quick, but I had several announcements just to recognize some of our wonderful students. Junior Mia Zivkovic, I can't say her name, I'm sorry. She advanced to the state tennis tournament this past weekend. Unfortunately, she lost in the first round, but it was a great honor for her to get there. Congratulations to Coach Dan Reynolds, who was very excited to see her go and worked very hard with her. Also, we had senior Hannah Mitchell, who also competed in the district golf tournament 2 weekends ago, and she did really well. And congratulations to Coach Brady Borkin, who was also her coach in that. We have a lot of kids, because we have such talented kids at our high school, who recently were inducted to the Tri-M Music Honor Society with Steve Cocciola and Jason Wise and Emily Garlack as serving as their advisors. The new inductees are Olivia Armstrong, Grace Abel, Emily Becker, David Bowler, Noah Brown, Kylie Brubaker, Stephen Churchin, Foster Serino, Gabriella Dockler, Michaela Del Rio, Marissa DeMeo, Abby Deverconda, Andrew Fliss, Dylan Grosh Hoy, Robert Hendrick, Allison Herseg, Sydney Hudasek, Michael Johnson, Jenny Lee, Megan Lutich, Delaney Marlowe, Jareth Marlowe, Erica Nye, Stephanie Nixon, David Nowacki, Jenna Scheinenberg, Solomia Samunik, Ian Stewart, Rihanna Thomas, Lena Trom, Sammy Vagergriff, Lauren Venisil, Kevin Williams, Jackson Williams, Catherine Wise, Jay Young Yu, Carolyn Wan, and congratulations to each of these students that were inducted. So we have quite a few. Congratulations to our robotics team who placed second this weekend in the Loudonville Robotics Tournament. Congratulations to our boys varsity soccer team. They are advanced into the sectionals and they will play Hudson on Wednesday, so good luck to them. Our volleyball team also has advanced. They play tomorrow against Nordonia, so in their second quest to follow the state tournament. Sam Wegloos broke a school record. He broke Tyler Tupa's record. I'm sure not happy about that, but he, with his last game in Wadsworth, he had over 238 yards in receiving, which put him over the school record of a total of 3,043 yards for his four-year season. So congratulations to Sam. We also want to say congratulations to our art educator, Ashley Rowland. She is our high school art teacher. She recently won second place in the State of the Arts juried exhibition that features art educators from all over Ohio. Her sculpture, Remnant, was made with latex paint, plexiglass, and adhesive, and the sculpture is currently on display down at Ohio University, so congratulations to her. And just a quick shout-out to our, just wanted you to know about our partnership that we have with Heinens. We have a renewed partnership with Heinens. Heinens every year comes in and does presentations at our elementary schools, and in turn, they advertise the programs that they have on healthy eating and wellness. And so we had over 157 children attend the Heinens program, so they are very thrilled with our participation. They give all of our kids awards for going and attending their programs around healthy eating, and they also have made donations this year to Hilton Elementary for our Halloween celebrations. They're donating all of the donuts and the cider that will be served there. So congratulations and thank you to our partnership with Heinens. I know, right? So those are my announcements.
Okay.
Very good.
Item A, right?
Yes.
Certified recommendations,
class
2.
Yep.
We have B, classified recommendations, tab 3, C, supplemental recommendations, tab 4. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Any questions on any of the recommendations?
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 9, superintendent's business. We have A, amended auxiliary services agreement in tab 5, B, high school fee accounting 2 workbook, tab 6, item C, complimentary passes resolution, tab 7, D, donations to the schools, tab 8, E, CCBDD, technical support team agreement, tab 9, and item F, auxiliary services agreement, SSM remedial reading tabs 10. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Any questions about any of the items?
I think the complimentary pass kind of stuck out, so if you just want to say that is.
Sure. So this is just an annual, because our board authorizes to give complimentary passes to some of our community members and to ourselves and to some employees, we just need a resolution each year that is approved by you that allowing this to happen.
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. And it passes 5-0. Item 10, triggers consent agenda. We have item A, financial report, September 2017, tab 11. We have removed item B. Item C, minutes of the September 25th, 2017 meeting. And item D, additional 2017-2018 pay to participate club fee, tab 14. I have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
Actually, first of all, I want to thank the board for allowing me a little extra time. I think they call that a little extra time in soccer to complete the October update to the five-year forecast. In my effort to supply a safe and, or I should say, a sound and reasonable document. I'm currently working on my finishing touches on some of the expenses that have changed that are unique to our district, mainly in the human resource area, to make sure that our new contract that was approved last year is definitely closely focused on specifically going into a five-year forecast. So that's really actually, if I were to present it right now, it would look pretty good. At least as far as I'm concerned, which is important, but nonetheless not the most important. So I'm finished putting the finishing touches on, so I appreciate the board allowing me a little extra time. I know Mr. Jansen had his arm reattached so he could make it to tonight's meeting. It's a joke. I hope his health is I've never seen a brace like that before, but the first thing, but I'm happy to see him. But nonetheless, just want to get into the, actually, believe it or not, we're already through a quarter of the year. Which is really the monthly report that I do every month. This includes the month of August, the months of August through September, which is really the first quarter. So if I were to go to page 2 of the monthly report, really the purpose is to describe any variances that occurred according to the last forecast. And if I were to point out a couple of biggies, anything typically over $10,000 gets some real good attention. But mainly item 1.06, all other operating revenues, it actually came in above forecast estimate. The forecast estimate was right around 466,000, came in around 610. What I look for in trying to notice any variances when it comes to any big items, in this case it happened to be several, and one quarter of the way into the year, you want to know what expenses and revenues are either at or above that 25% margin. So our pay to participate receipts currently at about 63%, special ed tuition is right around 62% of about a three-year average as well. So all that included in that revenue number that was a little bit more, from a timing perspective, inflated than forecast is also all day. Kindergarten tuition reached about 46% as of the end of September as well. So those are some of our big items when it comes to that particular item of what we consider all other revenue. On the expense side, we actually had a three pay month in September, which is not exactly the norm. So that attributed to a little expense exceeding forecast. We also had a new salary as of 9/15 go into effect. So that also played a part versus forecast. But also, if you go down the list here, purchase services for the first quarter, we were actually about 25% above forecast, which again, in that respect, printing, electricity, and special ed transportation items were that 25% margin or so. So those were some of the contributors to being just 18,000 over forecast. And then continuing down, if you look at supplies and materials, again, some of our big ticket items when it comes to the expense side, we were only 20,000 above last year, actual to actual. But the big contributors here were you know, such things as you can imagine, bus supplies and transportation and fuel and beginning of the year middle school instructional supplies and textbooks, replacement of textbooks and software. So those are the things that stuck out to me that were more timing issues, but things that did play a part in the $13,000, I guess you could call it, that was the came in under budget, actually. So that was actually pretty good. Overall, if you look at the bottom line, somewhat, you know, just statistically speaking, not a significant change year over year or by forecast standards. We're only about 7,000 under forecast. So that's phenomenal, and I won't take any credit for that because that was not me setting that forecast, but that's tremendous. So we only strive to be that far off from an aggregate perspective. Any questions? Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 11, executive session. For the purpose of consideration of the appointment, discipline, promotion, or compensation of a public employee or official as per board policy 0166, item A. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. We will now be in executive session, so thank you for coming.